Welcome to Consider This Program. I'm your host, Joe Clark.
I'm Ken Dilger.
And I'm Angie Kinzer.
So happy to have you along. Hope you guys have had an outstanding weekend. We are in the midst of September. That means, Ken, for all of our friends that are in the tax planning delay business, right? That's one of the interesting things. My taxes are rarely done before the official filing date. Do you know when that is, Angie?
Yeah, April 15th.
No. That's when tax payments are due.
October 15th.
Yes. Ken knows because his are probably delayed.
I've been pretty good, but a lot of my clients are delayed. Talked to a guy today. He's like, yeah, we're finally getting our taxes filed.
Absolutely.
Ooh. They paid in April, but finally got it's an S-Corp.
It's a penalty if you don't pay in April.
So you just do an estimated tax.
The final report is due October 15th, and so I will give you the quiz. Let's see if you can put two polka dots together here real quick for the tax man. If you're making an IRA contribution for 2019, what is the last date that you can contribute said contribution?
Well, it's either going to be December 31st or April 15th.
Why not October 15th?
I don't know.
If October 15th is the last day to report, why couldn't you do it then? You were right the first time. The second time, it's April 15th. One of the few things, ladies and gentlemen, that you can do for your tax return after the end of the year is make contributions to individual retirement accounts, IRAs. So you can do a Roth contribution if you qualified in February, March, April, up to April 15th, day of the filing tax date, for the previous year. So you could have done it for 2018. Now, interestingly enough, if you over-contributed to a Roth, right, and your tax man said, oops, you put too much money in 2018, you actually have until October 15th of the following year to make amends to be able to pull the money out. So, you know, I have no idea why people say taxes are confusing. This seems pretty simple to me.
Right?
I mean, come on, Ken.
Yeah, why not, right?
This is easy stuff. So we talked on the Market Carver this week about negative convexity. And if that sounds sexy and exciting and interesting to you, make sure you go to Your Life After Work and get signed up for our Market Carver. And based on the looks of the two people who are on the radio with me this morning, I will say negative convexity is probably not of great interest. How about if I told you this, that as interest rates went down, that mortgage bond durations actually also went down, which is the inverse of what happens with existing corporate bonds. See, some of this stuff matters. We got to, it's like my father-in-law at Christmas. Or a bad 4th of July thing at fireworks. Hey, you're listening. Consider This Program. I'm Joe Clark along with Ken Dilger, Angie Kinzer. We'll take a break and be right back with the program.
Hi, Joni Michaels here. We know you care about your money, but are you tired of worrying about it? The Financial Enhancement Group takes care of people just like you who don't want to worry about their money. As fiduciaries, the team at the Financial Enhancement Group will care for your nest egg just like they would care for their own. If they were in your situation, there are many decisions you'll need to make as you face retirement, and the team at the Financial Enhancement Group is here to help you. Call 800-928-4001 or go to yourlifeafterwork.com to set up a time to meet. The confusion and complexity of retirement is almost as daunting as is the excitement of retirement. Don't let your fear and frustration of taxes and investing derail your retirement. Call the Financial Enhancement Group at 800-928-4001. They'll give you a complimentary second opinion on your strategy for retirement. Begin your adventure in your life after work. Call 800-928-4001 or yourlifeafterwork.com. Now back to Consider This Program with Joe Clark.
Hello, you're listening to Consider This Program. I'm your host, Joe Clark. I've got a couple friends that are in studio with me. Ken Dilger, former player for the Colts, tight end, and Angie Kinzer, our events coordinator. If you're new to the program, here's the deal. We go over things you need to consider. I'm a certified financial planner, former adjunct professor at Purdue University, where I taught financial planning. We manage money for other people. We're fiduciaries. So if you're looking on doing this yourself, hopefully the program is helpful. If you're looking for a fiduciary, that is our business. Again, I'm Joe Clark, your host.
I'm Ken Dilger.
And I'm Angie Kinzer.
And we're happy to have you all along. Angie is in charge. I'm not going to let that go to her head, so I'll keep going.
Just stop right there.
I knew I could see it. It's kind of like when I tell Barb, honey, you're right. She goes, what? Just stop.
Let's stop this moment.
Let me soak this in the effervescence. No, here's the deal. She is our events coordinator. She's also the first person that you talk to when you call 800-928-4001 and say, hey, I want to talk to one of the planners at the Financial Enhancement Group. We all work together as a team. And so whoever you get is pretty much functions under the same processes that we have mined and grind out over the last 31 years for me, 22 years for the Financial Enhancement Group. But Angie's the one you talk to. So if you want a meeting, you're going to talk to her. So she's also the one that that fields your questions. And we have a bunch of them over one of Roth's, one of Ken's favorite conversations, because he gets tired of talking about IRAs. And and Ken, so you're going to love this. I'm getting
Why is that?
Because I'm getting ready to get on an airplane bright and early Thursday morning at, like, I don't know, 6:05, and to fly. I will be home by the time most of you listen to this program, and we'll spend 3 days with 330 CPAs, tax attorneys, and geeks like me reading private letter rulings to figure out how to make your life better, right?
Well, somebody has to do it, Joe.
Yes.
Well, I'm not sure when it's kind of like detasseling corn. You know, I did that as a kid for 7 years. I'm not sure anybody should have to do it, and apparently they don't do it the way I did it anymore. But we still do tax planning the way we ought to. So go ahead, set us up with a big question, and we will start there.
Okay. Well, what we're going to talk about is what happens to your 401k after a company merger. If someone buys your company out or it changes hands, what happens with your 401k? One of the questions I've actually stop and kind of accumulate them so that we can talk about this topic and ask everything at once.
Well, let's just start. Let's start with a big one and then we'll get to the question. So Ken, you have changed employers and what happened to your 401k when you changed from one company to another?
You can file the paperwork to take it with you.
Assuming that your new employer allows it,
right,
which they almost always do because you can get critical mass. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So we manage 401k plans for companies. It's one of the things we do. We have about $460 million that we manage for families across the country. And about 30 million of that is in 401k plans where we actually manage the plan. And the more assets they have in the plan, the lower the fee we charge. And so you're able to get critical mass. So Department of Labor says, Ken, you can always move it, but not all third party administrators will accept it, saying that you came from one employer to another. Most will,
gotcha,
right? But that's one of them.
Are there different kinds of sales? I mean, would there be something like an asset sale versus stock sale? And would that?
That has no bearing on you at all, Angie. A 401k, one of the nice things about them is they are deemed to be very, very portable assets. In other words, you can take them with you where you need them to go. And like Ken said, to another employer if you want to go, or you can leave them there if you have a certain amount of assets. Now, if you have too little amount of assets, let's say you only worked here for a year, right? We're going to send you a letter because it cost the Financial Enhancement Group money for you to keep your plan here. And if you've got less than a certain amount of money, and I can't even tell you what it is, it's, you know, people don't leave here for a good reason.
Well, yeah, because you have to pay for the reporting and everything else. So.
And so we can make you take it. Now, that didn't mean you have to pay taxes on it. You have the right to roll it into an IRA.
Yes.
Right? Or as Ken said, you could roll it to another 401k. Or if you have $100,000 in your plan, you can actually leave it here. And that's one of the things that I guess we had to talk about real quick. It's about orphans. And orphans are always a sad situation, right? When kids have no parents, you know, that's, and maybe it's better for the kids sometimes. I hear sometimes, Joe, you think things are bad that aren't really that bad. When I hear the word orphan, my heart goes out, right? And I feel the same way about orphaned accounts, right? If you're working at Eli Lilly or Ken, you're at Caterpillar, or, you know, you're at your mortgage place, or, you know, you're thinking about that 401k because you're actively engaged with it, right? But this one over here that you worked at for the first 5 years when you got out of college, or for the first 5 years when you, in your case, left the NFL, and it's got, you know, 30 or 40 grand, and, you know, you've got all your money from playing football, and Angie, you're getting rich working here, you know, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure. I want to make sure we're on the same page. No, but seriously, it gets orphaned, and many times it gets left behind, and you would be amazed, but many times families that come to see us have 2 to 4 401k plans between themselves and their spouse that we roll together, not all four of them in counts. The husbands go in one account, the wife goes in another, but they can very much be rolled.
I think this other question kind of pertains to, when we're talking about mergers, more of the companies that we own or the stocks that we carry inside our portfolios here, because the question is, how do mergers or acquisitions impact the stock, and what happens if we own one of those companies that is sold? So I think their question is if they own a company, let's say Apple, is sold to somebody else, then what, you know, the question is, what would happen? Would that matter?
It doesn't matter at all inside of a 401k plan. If you've got a company program and you make a, and you've got investments in various assets and various different things, then you have the ability to do what it is you're going to do with your program, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's immaterial in terms of what you owe. So kind of like you've seen me show on whiteboards and in talking in lectures and in conversations, a 401k and an IRA are merely tax codes. They are not things. And as long as your money stays inside of those 401ks or those IRAs, there is no tax change that takes place at all. Doesn't matter what you held, as long as the next plan allows for that. Now, here's the difference on that.
Okay.
Let's say you have a plan at the Financial Enhancement Group. We don't use actively traded mutual funds. We use exchange traded funds because they're more transparent, they're cheaper, and I have an agreement not to put your money in anything I wouldn't put my money in. That's why our 401k is only in exchange traded funds as opposed to mutual funds,
mm-hmm.
right? So for some unknown reason, you leave the Financial Enhancement Group and you go to work with Ken, right?
Okay.
Ken's 401k has only mutual funds,
mm-hmm.
right? So you can't use the same investments that you had at the old firm,
okay?
Right? Those the investments, if you roll it into the new 401k, are limited by the options that are at the new place.
Right.
Right.
So that's
your only difference.
The other question is, what happens if the company plan is terminated?
It happens. It tends to happen more often with defined benefit plans, mm-hmm. like pension programs, and they're usually not terminated. They're frozen.
Mm-hmm.
But it does happen. But in a 401k plan, rarely do you see that happen. What we saw in the crisis of 08 and 09 was people stop matching, Angie. They were putting profitability in, or they were matching, and the employer may have stopped that, but they didn't. They didn't do the other. Great questions. Hey, you're listening to Consider This Program. I'm your host, Joe Clark. Certified financial planner. We're registered investment advisors, fiduciaries in Central Indiana. Give us a call, 800-928-4001. Hi, I'm Joe Clark, your host of Consider This Program. I'm a certified financial planner, former adjunct professor at Purdue University, where I taught financial planning for 7 years. I taught the capstone course. We take this program, this content, every week and try to give you things that you should consider about your finances. You can reach us at 800-928-4001. If you want to do it on your own, that's your business. If you're looking for a fiduciary, that's our business. Again, I'm your host, Joe Clark.
I'm Ken Dilger.
And I'm Angie Kinzer.
And we are happy to have you all along. Angie is our event coordinator and also the first person you talk to if you call the Financial Enhancement Group and say, hey, I want to talk to one of the planners. Again, that's 800-928-4001. She's also the one that fields your questions.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we going to talk about in this conversation, Angie?
The topic that we get the most questions about, which are Roth IRAs. So I don't know if it sounds exciting, but we have a lot of questions.
It is emotional. And if you've been around me when I speak publicly, where I'm getting paid to speak publicly, you will hear me talk about the conversation of broccoli versus chocolate cake. And some people say, Joe, that's not fair. I love broccoli. Barb and I actually like broccoli. We're on keto. It's one of the vegetables we can eat. If you don't like broccoli, you're getting kind of limited. So
mm-hmm.
it doesn't make as much sense as it once did in my life. But you have the choice between broccoli, which is very, very, very good for you long term, versus chocolate cake, which is very, very satisfactory at the moment, right? If you eat chocolate cake, you know, every now and then, you're probably going to be okay. If you eat chocolate cake every meal and skip your broccoli forever, there's going to be a point in time where you pay the price, either in your waistline or leaving your family earlier than you want, though we all know people who are the exception to every rule. Roths are one of those things. A Roth, just in a nutshell, is where you pay the taxes on the money today so that you do not have to pay the taxes on the distribution nor the growth later on in life.
Ah, well, that ties right in. The first question I have is, are distributions from a Roth always tax deductible?
They are never tax, or whoa, you said distributions.
Yes.
So contributions are never deductible.
No.
And distributions aren't deductible. They're simply not recognized as taxable income. Now, even very intellectual people in the university world, especially out east, who have a different bent on finance than I do. But there's a professor that I really enjoy conversations, even though we disagree on almost everything, from Wharton, which is one of the top business schools. He is adamant that Congress will change their mind and begin to tax people on their Roth IRAs at some point in time. So he says, why go through the bother of doing the Roth? That's a very, very difficult thing to do, by the way, to make that change. And it affects people with less money typically, because most higher income earners have never been eligible to contribute to the Roth. They pay the majority of the taxes. You'd be creating a war with the middle class to tax Roths. So I can't imagine it happen. I disagree with him in that in entirety. There are other professors who will make the argument that say, hey, if the taxes are the same, it makes no difference if you do an IRA or a Roth IRA. And I'm glad they're taking care of their retirement and not me. I would beg to differ. They do not understand how more than one variable fits into the component of an equation. They should go back to math class. There's a huge difference whether you do an IRA or a Roth IRA, assuming that you have a volatile tax code, either by your own income standards, either you made a lot more money or a lot less money. And then the second thing is the tax code itself, which is very volatile. Taxes are on sale today. We know they go back up as of the December 31st of 2025. So our rates today are substantially cheaper. Most of you listening to this program are in the 15% bracket in 2017, and you're suddenly in the 12%. And some people, Ken, will say, hey, that's only a 3-point change. Let's do the math. That's about a 20% change, right? This is a much bigger deal than people think.
Okay, I have a question preceding this question, because I want to know, how many Roth IRAs are you allowed to have?
Unlimited.
Okay.
IRA stands for, what do you think it stands for, King? I'm going to pick on you just for a second.
Individual retirement account.
Of course you do, because everybody does it. That's not what it stands for. Angie, any idea?
Individual retirement arrangement.
Very good. How did you get that?
Huh.
She's been paying attention. 7 years will get you something, apparently. individual retirement arrangement, which is why you can have as many of them as you want.
Interesting.
If it was an individual retirement account, you might be limited. But an arrangement, you can have as many arrangements as you want.
Okay, because the question says, if knowing that you need to keep your Roth open for 5 years before you withdraw.
No. That is, and if it says that, it is actually inaccurate.
Oh, yay. I like to find these things. The question was, if one Roth has been open 5 years, can you withdraw from any of your Roths?
And the answer is yes. The five-year window begins on the day that you open up your first Roth IRA account. Now, this is a very difficult thing for the IRS to track. But when I was at Purdue, I would tell my students in the financial planning class as seniors, hey, if you've got $1,000, because that's what Purdue's Federal Credit Union required, if you have $1,000 of earned income, in other words, you washed dishes or you worked at McDonald's or you did something for your parents' business and you made $1,000, and you happen to have $1,000 over here in an account, Angie, has nothing to do with what you made, right? It could have been money you thought you were going to use for school, but you just had an extra grand sitting around, right? See, in a 401k, it's got to be money out of your paycheck. In an IRA, the money can come from anywhere, right? I could have earned money washing dishes. Ken's daughter is at IU, and she could have made money. And Ken says, you know, I love you, daughter. You spend all of the money on whatever it is you want. I'm going to pay for your school. Ken could say, hey, I'm going to give you made $2,000. And so I'm going to give you $2,000 to put into a Roth IRA. Perfectly fine and legitimate. Once that first account is opened, the five-year clock on all, make sure you catch the word, on all Roth contributions have begun.
So what's the five-year clock?
5-year clock says at the end of 5 years, you can always get your Roth contribution back in. So let's say your daughter puts $2,000 in and in each year for the next 5 years, right? And so now she's put in $10,000 plus all the growth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she meets the love of her life and wants to use that $10,000 as a down payment for the house. So all tax code, and you just have to get this in your head, all tax policy is really social policy, right? We think, and obviously as a mortgage guy, you think it's good that people own homes.
Of course. Right?
And that the American dream, da, 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 da. So Congress says these are things you can do and get away with murder, right? You can use things, and it changes based on what our social policy is at the time. Currently, you can use Roth money, the growth after 5 years, to be a first-time home buyer. So you can pull money out without a penalty, without taxation, without anything into the growth as long as you're a first-time home buyer. Now, you can always get your contribution back. So the $10,000 that she put in would have been the first money that she could have pulled out, and she could have done that on year two. So she could have put out $4,000, $2,000, right? So does that answer your question, Angie?
It does. Okay. And is there a difference between if it's a contribution, an initial contribution like you just talked about, or if it's a conversion?
Each conversion has its new 5-year period of time. And a conversion, and we're going to have to take a break and come back in a minute and start this conversation again because we have other Roth questions I know you want to ask. But each conversion starts its own 5-year period up into 59 and a half. You're listening to Consider This Program. I'm your host, Joe Clark. I'm a certified financial planner, a registered investment advisory firm in Anderson, Indiana, functioning all over central Indiana, actually in all 50 states. We have families in 31 different states. Right now, we manage about $460 million for families across the country. If you're looking for a fiduciary, we would be more than happy to have that conversation. Give us a call at 800-928-4001. Ken, Angie, and I will take a break. We'll be right back. Hi, I'm Joe Clark, certified financial planner, registered investment advisor, managing partner of the Financial Enhancement Group, a fiduciary firm based right here in central Indiana. We take care of families in 31 states. I will be as honest as I can. We love central Indiana, and we take care of people from Lafayette to Anderson to Fishers, Carmel, Kokomo, Fort Wayne, really across the state of Indiana and all of the farm country in between. So if you're looking for a fiduciary, give us a call, 800-928-4001. If you want to do it on your own, that's your business. If you want to have somebody help you with it, that's our business. Angie's our events coordinator. She's part of the program. Ken Dilger is here with me, former NFL football player, and the one who's responsible, his new task, is keeping me in line, making sure that when I say something that makes no sense, that he can, like negative convexity, he can go, what? Say what? You know, come
back
on.
Back it up.
Forget, I know Omaha. What's negative convexity? It's a great conversation that we actually will have. So I'm your host, Joe Clark.
I'm Ken Dilger.
And I'm Angie Kinzer.
And Angie's in charge. What are we talking about?
We have so many questions that we've accumulated about Roth IRAs. So in continuing down that road, this seems pretty basic. Are there RMDs on a Roth?
And if you missed that last one, just hold your finger up, Angie, so I can, there we go. We need to have this on video. Because she is holding her finger. Oh, now she's got two. Right. Now that's not fair. Now you're cheating. We're not on video. So one thing to remember, if you missed the last conversation or any part of the radio, you can always go to our website at yourlifeafterwork.com to get it. More importantly, you can go to any place where you listen to podcasts, iTunes, whatever. Download Consider This Program. You do have to put in program, and you can hear the entire show. But if you missed part of it, just give Angie a call at 800-928-4001, and we'll instruct you how to get there. If you don't know how to use a podcast, you're not alone. I've had to teach a lot of people. All right, go ahead, Angie, with the question.
Okay,
again.
So are there RMDs on your Roth IRA accounts?
And notice that she almost paused and said Roth IRA accounts. And that's because Roth is a person. So when you hear the Frank Dodd legislation, right, mm-hmm. there are senators named Frank and Dodd, and there was a Senator Roth, and that's what the Roth was named after. Again, Ken, the concept of being able to put money in after tax so that you didn't have to pay the taxes on the growth and when you went to pull the money out, right? What your contribution was had already been taxed, and the growth literally comes out tax-free. So in farmer terms, it's like being able to pay taxes on the seed,
mm-hmm.
but never on the corn or never on the bean. Beautiful,
right.
beautiful gig when you're able to qualify for it. So if you have a Roth IRA and it is yours under the current tax code, or I die and it goes to my wife, Barbara, under the code, a spouse or a spousal rollover or yourself, there are no required minimum distributions on Roth IRAs. Okay. Now I kick the bucket and all of a sudden my daughters inherit the money. They have to take out required minimum distributions. It's not taxable, but they do have to take out the money. Now, sidebar, little star, asterisk point, if you have a Roth 401k, as I do here at the Financial Enhancement Group, remember, there is no income restriction on being able to contribute, right? So I put money in every year. I'm able to put it into the Roth 401k part, and the money that comes out of there, again, will be tax-free, but I do have required minimum distributions out of my Roth 401k. So as I age and get closer to the period of time where that is required, I will be rolling it into an IRA so that I do not have to take those RMDs. Make a sense?
It makes sense.
There you go.
So this question is, what if you know for sure you'll be paying lower rates after retirement? Does it make more sense to fund a traditional IRA or a Roth?
Well, let's ask Ken this question, because I'm enamored by anybody who tells me that they know for sure they're going to pay lower taxes, right? So of the three of us, Ken is the youngest, but we won't say by how much.
Okay.
Right? But he is the youngest.
Yes.
Right? I'm 52, and I've been doing this for 31 years. I happened to start in a very interesting period of time, 2 weeks before the crash in 1987. So Ken, today, the top tax rate in the United States in 2019 is 37%.
Okay.
Right? In 2017, it was 39.6%. Do those two numbers sound like a lot?
Sure, of course they do.
Of course they use, yeah, in the state of Indiana or whatever state you're in. This is why people are moving from Illinois and New York and New Jersey to Florida, Tennessee, Texas, Arizona, places where there's no state taxes. Of course it sounds like a lot. Do you know what the top tax rate was in 1980 when Ronald Reagan took office?
It had to be awful high, because I know the interest rates were awful high,
yes.
too.
70%. And typically the two aren't correlated, but that's kind of, it's interesting how you went there. Yes, the peak of the mortgage industry, since you were there, you can tell people this. The average 30-year mortgage in 1980 was 18%. So when you have somebody complain, you can just tell them it was 1.8%. I saw a paper, that's what they call mortgage paper, from an engineer that I take care of, that was written in 1989. At 22%.
Wow.
And yeah, you just can't even imagine. When Reagan took office, it was 70. Today, the top is 37. So I don't know how anybody has a crystal ball to tell me that they know for sure that they will be at a lower tax break later on. Now, what they can say is, I know for certain that I won't have the income that I'm at today.
Right.
Right. Or that I won't spend as much as I have today. That you may be able to say you're certain about, but not your tax rate, right? Not your tax rate. So in general, if you believe your income is going up over time, so we can use my two daughters, 27 and almost 23. We can use Ken's daughter, still in school. I think she just turned 21, right? Somewhere around that, Ken?
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, we hope that our kids make more money over time than what they're making right now.
Right.
So the presumption would be those three should almost always be doing a Roth. There is a possibility of somebody that's in their 50s or 60s that's getting ready to retire may have a lower taxable income when they retire. That's an old wives' tale, in my opinion.
Wasn't that what started tax deferment to begin with?
No, it's what 70% started tax deferment.
Yeah.
I mean, the reality is, if you went back in the time back machine in 1980,
yes.
right? So we were in junior high school. Everybody thought, and it was a sexist world, even worse back then, but everybody told me that I should be a doctor or an attorney, right? And, you know, still to the mid-1990s, I would have people say, don't you have enough money to go back to law school? You know, I'm perfectly content doing what I do, just for the record. But doctors made all the money. And people who didn't understand the tax code, believe me, we've got almost 1,000 families we take care of, about 990 today that we take care of. most of them, when they came in, did not understand the tax code to the level that they do now, because that's one of the things that we teach is how to read your 1040. And if you don't understand how your taxes work, and you ask somebody that you respect because they make a lot of money, should I do tax deferral? The answer was always yes. If you ask CPAs who rarely spend all of the money that they make because they're very, very fiscally conservative, the answer is yes, you should do tax deferral. So you really need to have an answer that is based on your unique situation much more than it is based on what society wants to make you believe. Hey, you're listening to Consider This Program. I am Joe Clark. I'm a certified financial planner, the managing partner of the Financial Enhancement Group. You can find out more about us at yourlifeafterwork.com. If you've got a question or comment, something that you would like to hear on the show, you can give Angie a call at 800-928-4001. You can always send her an email, consider this at yourlifeafterwork.com. People ask me why that's the name. When we started, people couldn't spell Financial Enhancement Group. 22 years ago, if you didn't spell it right, the internet didn't take you anywhere. So today that's different, but it really is about your retirement, yourlifeafterwork.com. Well, good morning and welcome back to Consider This Program. I'm your host, Joe Clark.
I'm Ken Dilger.
And I'm Angie Kinzer.
We are plum tickled to have you along. I have no idea where plum tickled came from.
Yeah, who says that?
We've been saying it our whole lives, but I don't know why. You know, I used to have this teacher, bless his soul, Mr. Burnett, in English class when I moved to Benton Central, which is right outside of West Lafayette, Indiana, and just brighter than all get out. But he would ask people five sentences, and you had to answer them correctly. And within five sentences, he would tell you within 30 minutes of where you lived in the entire country.
Oh, wow.
Based on the way you answered the questions. You know, and some of it you can get. Mow the grass, cut the grass. It was his hobby. He had the largest herb garden in the state. People think it's Conner Prairie. It's really not. It was Mr. Burnett, but he died at a Pacers game back in the 1984, I think, 84, 85. It was just amazing. But this was his love and life. Right. So I have no idea where plum tickled came from. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
Did he use that phrase?
I know. My mom did. Right. I told you when I married Barb that, you know, you all know what afternoon is. Mm-hmm. This is simple. Yep. Right. We come from the Muncie Anderson area. Mm-hmm. Afternoon. You know afternoon,
right,
Ken.
Of course.
What in the world's forenoon?
Before noon.
Oh, yeah, but you did.
Right?
That's just because you're smart enough to figure it out. Yeah. This is not because you've ever used that word. Who would walk? I can just see somebody with their bib overalls going, yeah, forenoon. We're going to have a cup of coffee at Bob Evans. Right. Up in Goshen and Elkhart, it's forenoon, right? Huh. So, you know, you've got a grandma from there, you have to learn new languages.
Yes.
Anyhow, this is Consider This Program. It's about your money, not about dialogue or dialect or whatever you want to call it in this case. So let's go ahead and do a recap. Angie, our first conversation. And remember, if you missed any of these, you can always go back to our website at yourlifeafterwork.com. Or download a podcast anytime you, anywhere you do, iTunes, just put in Consider This Program. You do have to add program. I think we have more listeners there than we probably do on radio. Certainly more conversations ongoing where people are sending in questions or comments. But what is the first thing that we want to go back to?
The first thing that we talked about was a question of what happens to your 401k after a company merger. And, you know, when I went back and tried to find some information on this, before bringing it to you, I did find an article that called 2019 the year of the mergers.
Yes. Just in case you ever wondered, Angie does like to trip me up.
I do.
Yeah. She got her lesson from Sherry Kontos before she left. So the goal is to trick Joe into answering something incorrectly.
No.
So I know. So let's, she did try to stump me. That was a Sherry thing. Somebody asked me how she's doing the other day. The reality is, let's get rid of the word merger.
Okay.
And let's just say we separated from work, because it really doesn't matter if there was a merger or an acquisition, you quit, you got fired, didn't matter. Your 401k plan is portable. If you go to work somewhere else, Ken, you can roll it into
a 401k,
into the new 401k from your new employer.
Right.
Right. And you can always have the right to roll it to an IRA. Always have that right. They cannot stop you from that. The only person who could stop me from rolling my 401k into my IRA, Angie, would be, there is a person.
Yourself?
Nope. Who does my beneficiary have to be on my 401k?
Oh, your spouse.
Your spouse. That's why if you roll a 401k to an IRA, many plan documents will make the spouse sign off because I can make Angie the beneficiary of my IRA. Barb is entitled to half of our assets if something were to happen to me, regardless of how I had it done. But I could leave money behind to you if I want to in an IRA. The 401k has to go to your spouse unless you actually have a post-nuptial, meaning after the pastor said, you may now kiss the bride and I pronounce you husband and wife, right? So just so you have that. So what was our second topic?
Right. The second thing we talked about were Roth IRAs. We tried getting down that list of questions. We only made it, well, not even quite halfway, but
literally she has two pages of questions and, you know, they're tough, wonderful, wonderful things. And I think, Ken, the best way, you know, you're in a situation where people ask you for advice.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, should I get a mortgage now? Should I refinance now? You know, because you're in the mortgage world. But it's really more than that. I mean, people look up to you. Literally, he's much taller than I am. The first time he was in here, I got called Big Joe my entire life, and I don't always get it anymore. But I remember Ken looking at one of our guys on the radio, going, "Do I really have to call him Big Joe?" And no, Ken, you don't. you get out of that. But we get asked to give people advice, right? And that's what I get paid for. People ask you that kind of stuff all of the time, and it's confusing. It's tough to tell people the right answers on some of the stuff because we don't know where tax rates are headed, right?
Correct.
And tax codes change. Things that I have in writing that were out there 2 and 3 years ago, well, not 2 years ago, 3, 5, 7, 10, I've been writing a newspaper column for over 22 years. You go back and find them, there's some stuff that's wrong.
How does the average person know
they don't.
When there's a tax?
They don't. They do not.
I mean, that's
how
people get stuck.
They do not. We have somebody that I was just with whose taxable income is in has more zeros than most people. Let's just put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And had no idea how her taxes worked along with her investments. They had their money at a brokerage house, a large wire house, and there is a presumption. I cannot. That our whole team at the Financial Enhancement Group is focused on making sure that you understand, not that we just do. Now, that doesn't mean, Ken, you have to do it on your own. We're not.
Right.
I'm not trying to teach you how to give yourself surgery. But you do need to have. You do need to understand the basics. And when you've got, you know, a few million dollars that's sitting around an account and nobody has explained to you the difference between Angie's short-term capital gains or long-term capital gains or how your deceased mother's IRA works now that it's an inherited IRA,
mm-hmm.
when that's not happening, it's one of two reasons. Either the broker doesn't know how to explain them and is not interested in explaining them and doesn't feel that's not their job, that's a CPA's job. That's kind of the attitude most people have. Or it's the second thing, and it's what we call the double curse of knowledge. I don't know what Angie doesn't know. Now, the first curse is I don't know what I don't know, right? And I learn the reason I read and do all the stuff that I do. I learn stuff every day. If I don't, I'm going to go backwards, right? I mean, I'm on a constant learning thing, but that's what all these families pay me for. You know, you all do your thing, I do my thing, right? And I read to learn because things change. But regardless of how much I know, I still don't know what Angie doesn't know. And if I wasn't in this industry and somebody walked into me and, Ken, they were your age and they had $3.5 million in an account, there would be a presumption that they understood something about tax, right? If you mm-hmm. paid $400,000 a year in tax, there would be a presumption that you understood something about tax. And I am here to tell you that presumption is wrong, right? And a lot of people are out there trying to do this on their own, Angie. They're being their own fiduciaries. They're working with brokers or insurance agents, or they got a Schwab account or a Scottrade account. They're doing it on their own, and they don't understand how their tax code works. And I'm telling you, you have to learn how to read your return. Hey, you're listening to Consider This Program. I'm your host, Joe Clark. You got a question or comment, give Angie a call, 800-928-4001, or email her, considerthis@yourlifeafterwork.com. Again, it's 800-928-4001.